Today, I want to talk about the sent ones. Chris, that was a powerful word you gave, sir. I enjoyed that, and it really was right on the nose. It could have been me you were talking. I guess you were. I don't know. Anybody else in here, was that word speaking to you? And then, of course, Kelly's dovetailed right into it. And then Phillips went right in there. Actually, Phillips would have been better first because it talked about entering in the right way. And then you can do what Chris's word talked about. You know, but I believe that baby's been coming for a while. And I tell you what, when Zach was born, it was 2 hours and 54 minutes, I think it was, or 2:45. Anyway, I was thankful that that was not a long labor. And he came in a hurry. Most of my kids came very quickly, except for, I think, who, Nick or Chelsea? Nicholas. Nicholas came kicking and screaming, I think. He didn't want to come. He wanted to stay in there where it was nice and warm and lots of food to eat. But he eventually came. And actually, we just had to go and do a lot of walking around the hallway. And then he came. But God, when he does something, and he can do it suddenly. You know, on the day of Pentecost, they didn't think that the baby was ever going to be born of the Holy Spirit coming. And they waited 10 days. And I'm not so sure, you know, because 500 saw him after he resurrected. And I went to a room that was similar. I don't know that it was the exact room, but they celebrated the Holy Spirit coming in a particular building there in Jerusalem. And I say that because, you know, that the fact that the archaeology and the actual dig is below the level of present Jerusalem. So that's why I say it probably wasn't the same building, but it was like that. It was a huge room, and there was 120 people in the room. It was like a banquet hall, really, like a gathering hall. And on the day of the Pentecost came and the Holy Spirit arrived, it said they were sitting. They'd been there 10 days. They weren't up worshiping the Lord for 45 minutes like we do sometimes. And then, I'm going to sit down. My back's hurting or my legs hurt or I need to rest a minute. Well, after 10 days, you can imagine nobody was standing. They're all probably sitting there, well, Jesus, I really love him. And he said that Holy Spirit was coming, so I'm just holding on. And when they least expected it, boom, Holy Spirit came. It was suddenly. He came with cloven tongues of fire that rested down upon each one. How'd you like to feel like somebody hit the top of your head with a bolt of lightning? Because that's what it felt like. Wham! And then there was a sound that sounded like a freight train coming in, like a rushing mighty wind. Now, Sean, were you in your house when the tornado came through that area? What did it sound like? Do you remember? Like a train. So a rushing mighty wind does sound like a train. Just a whoa, just come in there. It's pretty crazy. I've heard some smaller hurricanes come through South Florida when my kids were little and we had our house buttoned up with shutters and everything. The one that destroyed our house, though, we exited. So I wasn't there for Hurricane Andrew. I just came back and saw the devastation of it. When the Holy Spirit arrives, He devastates your enemy. But there are suddenlies. And when He comes, Chris, it's just like that. It's like that baby didn't labor. He didn't wait. Whew. And that transition, folks, is coming. That transition is not just for you or I. It's for the church of the Lord Jesus. And I believe for the world. I believe this world is about to encounter the presence of God moving throughout this earth like we've never imagined. You're going to see events transpiring. You know, I'm a sports buff, and a lot of the guys here like sports, and Oh, we chit-chat about Rick and I'll talk baseball, and then maybe Xavier and different ones. We'll talk about basketball and different things, you know. And even some people talk the Olympics, and that's all exciting and all, isn't it? Oh, Kelly and I, we talk baseball. He's a Reds fan. He needs to be delivered, you know. But we tolerate it, you know. When, you know, as long as he roots for the Reds, and then anybody else that plays against the St. Louis Cardinals, he's okay with me. You know, we always had a saying that we root for the Cardinals, and then anybody that plays the Cubs. You know, I actually liked the Reds. I was a fan back in the big Red Machine days. But anyway, but we talk about all that, and we're excited about it. But you know what? When God moves so powerfully in this world, there's not going to be as much talk about the NBA or baseball. The world's going to be a little bit concerned, Philip, about how they're going to come in before God Almighty. Because when the veracity and the ferocity of the Holy Spirit's power arrives on the scene, there's going to be, you know, I feel on a prophetic edge here this morning. There are going to be cities that become all light. And there are going to be cities and towns that become total darkness. And there's going to be people that are in the darkness that will fear to come to those cities and towns that are of the light. And there will be those of the light that will know to steer clear of the darkness because of how people are. Hollywood is not going to have a voice like it had in the past. In fact, that's already happening. Did y'all know that God is moving such a way that the Oscars that were last week? You remember the year before, I was in Hollywood during Oscar week, weekend. I preached in Hollywood in a church with all young, I don't know, you don't call them yuppies anymore. I guess we call them millennials. They were all young adults in that church. We had like five people over 40 years old there, and I was one of them. And on the other was the parents of the pastor's wife. That was there, and then maybe one other couple that had come to the 12-step program, and then everybody else was younger. Kevin, we would have been the old men there, you know, but everybody else was younger in that church. They were all young adults, and many of them worked in the entertainment business. They worked for studios. Some were makeup artists. Others were high-tech people that dealt with software and such as that, and different systems. And some, you know, were involved in script writing and things. But these were all hungry for the Lord. But if you notice, they came out with a report this week that the Oscars was one of the lowest-rated programs in Oscar history. And guess what? Some bozo named Jimmy Kimmel was part of the problem. He kept trying to make jokes against Trump and different things and different people. And it's just not funny anymore. You know, most people are going to say, look, the economy's doing this and that, and this is happening and that's happening. Things have gotten better in a lot of ways. But, you know, people are more interested in getting by, of keeping a job, paying their rent, paying their electric bill, having food on the table. They're not as quick to say, oh, Jimmy Kimmel, he's so funny, and, you know, all this. It's not funny anymore. Life is a serious, serious matter that people are dealing with. And we need God's Holy Spirit moving such as we have never had before. Amen? Anyway, 2 Corinthians, I knew I'd get back there. We're talking about the sent ones. You can be a sent one. And it says there in verse 20, for all the promises of God in Him are yes, and in Him amen, to the glory of God through us. And I'm going to say this, I would love it, Sister Virginia, you read my mind. The Holy Spirit was talking to you. I would love for you to invite people that have attended here in the past or visited on that day to come and celebrate my 60th birthday with me. You know, if they haven't been here in a while, sometimes people feel a little bit out of pocket because they haven't been, they feel a little embarrassed. They don't want everybody to say, oh man, where you been hiding? And all this. Sometimes we need to accept people, but don't overdo it. Because then they feel sheepish. They don't know how to react. You know, and so we need to just give them a hug and say, hey man, good to see you. And so on. But step out of your comfort zone a little bit and go out of your way to invite somebody that hadn't been here in a while. Somebody that may have attended in the past. We have people that help us do this building here that haven't been here in a while. I'd love to see them. And it may take you to invite them. Entice them with something good to eat, because our dinners are always good. And we know that many of you make wonderful dishes, and especially the desserts. Since it's a birthday, we want lots of good cake and brownies and things like that. Chocolate chip cookies are delightful. I've never met one that I didn't like. You know. But anyhow, the 25th, let's make that a target day to bring people. And next week, we're going to go and reach out to people. And we're going to have some brochures, because I'm going to get with Amanda and we're going to redecorate this one and make it a little more the way I think we want it, so that it will be a really eye-catching piece of paper. But I want to talk to you about the sent ones today. How many know that yes and amen really works? When you are in the Holy Spirit and you let God use you, when you pray, yes and amen is powerful. Why? Because you're doing it. Amen means so be it. And yes means yes. It means it's not no. How many hate it when somebody gives you a no when you're asking for something? You ever go in and say, I'd like a raise? Well, no, we can't do that. Well, let's start agreeing. How many of y'all work for somebody and you need a raise? Just put your hand up. You'd like a raise. Yeah, just hold it up. I want to see you. All right. I agree with you right now. Let's see if this will work this week. Lord, we agree that everybody here will get some kind of a bump up in pay, some kind of a bump in, you know, benefits or something that shows, or a little bonus or something. Show us that you heard this prayer, and we pray it in Jesus Christ's name. Yes. Yes. Somebody say yes. Yes. Amen. Amen. Somebody say amen today. Yes, it is done. Hallelujah. Let's try that and see what happens. I think it can surely happen. I think people are going to give it and not even know why they're giving it. They're just going to do it. Amen. Anyway, in Acts chapter 13 and 14, that's where I'm going today. And this is where God led me. But in Acts 13, I think I was somewhere around there at the end of last week, but this is different. Let's look at verses 1 through 5 of chapter 13. I want you to get a hold of this today. Now, I'll say this. One of the scriptures I'm going to comment on is not in my notes. I'm just going to tell you. But it's interesting. I'm going to tell you first. And you don't have to look it up, Terry. I'm just going to tell it to them. In Acts 14:14, that's why you'll never forget it. That's 14:14. It says, but when the apostles, everybody say apostles. Apostles. And I wasn't talking about the 12. You know how some people talk, you know, in the religious circles or whatever you want to call it. Anyway, whenever they talk, sometimes they say, oh no, there was 12 apostles, and then when they died, it was all done, and now we just have the Bible today, and we don't have all these other gifts and things happening. But let's read this. This is one verse that proves it. And they say, oh, but Paul was an apostle out of time. You know, they drew straws for, what was his name, Matthias? Matthias to take the place of Judas Iscariot, who was a scoundrel who betrayed Jesus. And so you know what? Sometimes you got to replace somebody because they betray you. Well, he did. They replaced it with Matthias. And I believe that he was sincere and that he was marked and he was prayed over and that he was surely an apostle, a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? But 14:14 makes it plain, but when the apostles, with an S on the end, plural, comma, then what's their names? Barnabas and Paul heard this. Paul was not the apostle out of time. He was just another one who was sent. Barnabas, why would the Bible call him an apostle if there aren't more than 12? Barnabas and Paul heard this. Now, we're not getting into that verse right now, so we turn back over to chapter 13. I just wanted to get something through to you. There are apostles today. There are prophets today. No, when the Bible was finished being written, it didn't mean that that was an end to apostles and prophets. When the New Testament, that Paul portion that he wrote, said that he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, he gave them for the edifying and the unifying of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He gave them, and he's still giving them today. He's still sending people today. Did we not send Mike and Kristen Betancourt somewhere? Mm-hmm. Now, they haven't started church, but Mike's got all the goods in him. Amen. Did we not send Chris and Emmerich Martinez from here to Columbia, South Carolina, and he has started a church, and he's got a service ending probably right about now because they're an hour ahead of us? Did I not send Eliezer Hernandez one day, and he went to California, and then he went to North Carolina, and I'm his overseer, and he has three churches in Raleigh, Durham, and Wake Forest? These are men that and families that God sent. There are sent ones. Will we not send others in the future as God so does? We're going to lose Kelly on a weekly basis. Why is that? Because Laura has taken a position over by Fort Campbell Army Base where she is working and counseling with wounded warriors. I think that's a tremendous... I'm so excited about that. I'm not excited about them living over there. I'd rather them live here. They've been our friends for such a long time. And they've been faithful. And they're good tithing members. I hate to lose any good tithing member. Yeah. Some, you don't notice they left because they never did give. And I felt like a failure with them because they never did wake up and count their blessings. But they've been good givers, not only tithers, but givers of offerings. And they've participated. And they've had been stirred up to do something for God. He's got an evangelist calling on his life. But who knows what they might do in the future. He might start a church. Then he goes from being an evangelist to an apostolic evangelist or an evangelistic apostle. If you're sent, see, they're sent ones. God does not just let you rest on a shelf if you have attained in the realm that you're in to a degree where now you have a place that God wants to put you. And see, I never get angry about people that God sends. Some just went. Some were sent and some went. I get angry about the ones that just went because I know they sold themselves short. I know that they did not receive the blessing to go. Therefore, they're walking out of step until they could return and get a blessing. If I'm the one that laid hands on them and put them in the ministry, then they're in error. See, I'm just saying it like it is. You all are here, so I love you. and your great people. But there are sent ones. And over the many years in the ministry, we have sent many. And some lived in other places. And so they, you know, being living in other places, they were drawn to us, like Herman Gutierrez in Brownsville, Texas. He's Tino's brother. Well, the man that helped him to get into the ministry became old and he passed away. Well, then he had nobody as his supervisor. And so Tino said, well, you could come in with us. Tino chose me as his pastor in 1992. Because Globe, at that time, Globe Missionary Evangelism, it was called, out of Pensacola, said, we are no longer under Liberty Church because Ken Summerall moved on to start Church Foundation Network with eventually over 2,000 pastors, which I was one of 20 leaders in that organization. They said, we're not having you as, we're not the pastor anymore. So you need a pastor. So he came to me and said, would you be my pastor? He said, you all come down and visit us. It might have been like 93 or 94. Anyway, it was a couple years later. And so I said, yes, I'll be your pastor. Go to Guadalajara. Paco Rodriguez had a church that has been all kinds of sizes, and he sent out many pastors like I have, and he's got 28 churches under him. Well, he asked me one day about 4 years ago, he said, will you be my pastor? I said, well, that's an honor. I appreciate that. He says, you are faithful to come here, and you speak into our church and into our lives, and we trust you, and we honor you. You are our pastor. He chose me. He said, in fact, these 28 churches are now your churches, along with ours. There's 29 churches counting his. And then there's others been started out of it. Then Juan Acosta came to me that used to be part of Centers of Faith. Will you be my pastor? See, so there are some that did not come here, attend church, get raised up through the ministry school, get ordained, and then get sent out. Some came in to my life and said, we want you to be our spiritual father, the pastor over us, so would you please bless us? And so I didn't have to send them, they're already there. I just came back home. We have about 70 to 75 churches now in Mexico that are under our fellowship. We got as many churches as we got people, adults right now, just about. But you know what? We sent out people to Piggott. There's people with Jerry Suter now. We sent out people to Puxico. We sent people to Columbia. We sent people, you know, to different places. And they've gone. We've had different people go. At one time, we sent some to Piggott, Arkansas. Of course, then they moved on. They went to Jacksonville, Florida. Now I got people that I sent there. And that's a church that's under our fellowship. So, you see, people are sent for a purpose. The baby gets delivered. Some of them are quick. Some are a little slower in developing. Some incubate, seem like they stay in there 9.5 or 10 months instead of 9 or 8.5. Some come quickly. Some even go premature. And it doesn't always mean they are spiritually healthy because they went prematurely. It's important that if you are born and sent as an apostolic leader, that you do so at exactly the right time. Because if you don't, it's not going to be a blessing to you. It's going to be a hardship for you. And many people just walk away. They say, I'm blessed anyway. I don't need you. And I don't even know why they got mad at me. Because I still sleep good at night. I just like it if somebody really gets mad at me, come and cuss me out or something. I mean, come, not really. I don't want them to cuss me out. But I wish they'd just come get angry to my face. At least then I would know what was wrong. And then I could tell them a response. Well, okay. Stomp your foot a couple times and you'll feel better. Oh, glory, glory, glory. Anyway, read these scriptures, Pastor. Get out of that rut. All right, in chapter 13, 1 through 5. Now, in the church that was at Antioch. Did you know Antioch, as the New Testament says, that was the first place that the believers the disciples of Christ were called Christians. Christians is what we say in English. Everything squeezed through, from Hebrew or Greek to English so that we understand it. How many of y'all speak English? Okay. All right. And I'm just going to tell you the truth. You can say it however you want to. But that's why I say Jesus and God. I mean, Jehovah Jireh, that's a compound name of God. It's in the Old Testament. I don't run around saying Yeshua HaMashiach and Elohim and all this. You know what that is? That's religiosity. I'm going to get up on my soapbox. That is religious. If you've got to say Yeshua and you got to spell God, YHWH, what do you think the world's going to think about you? When most of them don't have a drop of Jewish blood in their body. They think they're honoring God that way. If they can serve God that way, God bless them. But I'm going to talk regular talk. Hi, I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus. And guess what? Anytime I've had a demon, Charlie, come at me through somebody, I've had people try to attack me, and I've used the name Jesus, and I tell you what, the demons shudder at the name Jesus. I could tell you story after story after story. And if I'm getting it wrong by saying Jesus Christ, then I just can't be convinced. I'm sorry. And I'm sorry I got off on this tangent. But it concerns me when people get religious and people cannot receive their witness because they act so out there when they're not even Jewish. I've had Jewish friends that think it's funny sometimes because they say they're trying so hard to be Jewish. And he said, I didn't have any truth and any freedom until I came to Jesus. And they're trying to go back in and practice the feastings and all these different things and trying to make Friday night to Saturday night, sundown, the Sabbath, when Jesus said He didn't make man for the Sabbath, He made the Sabbath for man. That's why I told the Seventh-day Adventist man that day when he came in and was upset that in our Christian school we taught the children they ought to go to church on Sunday when his kid went on Saturday. And he came and I said, I'm so sorry, sir, because as far as I'm concerned, if you believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you can go any day of the week because Monday we have 12-step groups and that's our Sabbath also. And Tuesday we have a miracle service and that's a Sabbath for us also. And then we have family night where we teach Bible studies and that's a Sabbath for us. And Thursday night, back then we had ministry classes, and that's a Sabbath. And Friday night, we have 7 to 11 for the young people that come out and they play and they get a devotional, and that's a Sabbath. And Saturday night, we have prayer meeting, and that is a Sabbath. And then Sunday, we have church services again, and that is a Sabbath. I said, brother, every day of the week is a Sabbath for me. Hallelujah. Now, I may rest here and there, but don't get bound up by religion. But if that's the day you choose to go, let's go over and talk to her school teacher right now. And I marched that little girl and that daddy in there. And I said, Mrs. Marsicano, let me just tell you that she goes to church on Saturday and it's all right with me. So when you say Sunday, then also mention that she can go on Saturday. It's okay. Boy, who pushed my button today? I don't know, but it sure did feel good to let it out. Maybe somebody listened to this on podcast that needs to hear it. But I'm going to tell you right now, religion will never win the world. Those who are sent by the marking of the Holy Spirit upon their lives with a message of grace and mercy and the love of Almighty God, they are the ones that are going to turn this world upside down. They're the ones that are going to cause people to live like you live. Hallelujah. I love the Holy Spirit, don't you? I love what He does. It is beautiful. Everything in Him is a beautiful thing. But it goes here, and He says, I'm finally into verse 1 again. I didn't get past Antioch, but here we go. We're going to try it again. All right. Now, in the church that was at Antioch, where they first called them Christians, there were certain prophets and teachers. As far as I knew at that time, they had no apostles there. All right. It says, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod, the Tetrarch, and Saul. They were prophets and teachers. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now, isn't that great? Number one, church leaders often get together to fast and to pray. And then guess what? Number two, the Holy Spirit will speak and He'll call men to be set apart. That could be women also, don't take it wrong. But those were men that were gathered together. Their culture did not even allow the ladies to sit with their husbands in the synagogue. Did y'all know that? The women, the men sat up front or on the main floor. If there was a balcony, the women would be sitting in the balcony. Or they would be sitting in the back. They could not sit with their husbands because of the Middle Eastern culture. Now you may say, well, hey, don't you look at no other woman now. But in the Middle East, the Arabs can have legally four wives. Different parts of this world operate differently. Now we know the Bible. It tells, you know, if you want to be a leader, you want to be an elder or a deacon, you can only be the husband of one wife. You can't have more than one wife. All right? And it's not legalistically saying that if somebody who went through a divorce and got their act together, that they couldn't be a leader either. A lot of them stretch that thing the wrong way. It's saying you can't have more than one wife in this culture. Even though the culture can have more than one wife, you cannot. You have to dedicate yourself to one wife. And I don't believe in polygamy or bigamy or anything other else, enemies, you know. Anyway, I'll get out of that ditch fast as I can. But as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul. Because, see, his original birth name was Saul. Now, when he was changed and transformed, he was called Paul. Well, what was Simon Barjona changed to? Peter. So see, when God gets a hold of your life a lot of times, He will change your name. He changed Abram to Abraham. He changed him from being a father, which was a miracle, but He said, I'm not just going to make you a father. He proved that with Hagar, the handmaiden of his wife Sarah, when he had Ishmael. He was still Abram. But when he became Abraham, it was when God's promise was fulfilled when Abraham and Sarah had Isaac, the son of promise. See, it's interesting to study the Bible. And he goes on and he says, separate these two for me. Then he said in verse 3, then having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. The teachers and the prophets, Gala, laid hands on them, and then they sent those two men who the Holy Spirit had separated. Wouldn't that be something today if the Lord would speak and I'd say, Derek and Sarah, the Holy Spirit has separated you. We're going to send you to Kansas City, Kansas, and lay hands on you and send you. Of course, they wouldn't have a clue yet. But I mean, that's how abrupt it was. But Barnabas and Saul were ready. They were walking in the Holy Spirit. And then we go on and read, and it says, So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia. And from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they arrived in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they also had John as their assistant. Now, I don't know, because they had difficulty over John. I didn't hear the Holy Spirit say, well, set apart John to go be your assistant. Sometimes men overstep their bounds. They took John, wasn't John the apostle either, it was John Mark. And he was immature. He's like a kid saying, we are there yet? When you're traveling. But I imagine he got there and said, how long are we going to be gone? You know, I miss my mama's cooking. And so there was trouble between Saul and Barnabas. And they eventually split ways. And then Barnabas, he went one direction. And Saul, who became Paul, went the other direction. He took Silas with him. And so, but these guys, as I read in 14:14, they were apostles. Why? Because the Holy Spirit set them aside and then He sent them to do a particular work for God's kingdom. I think that's pretty awesome myself. See, number three, we see they went to the synagogues first. They went to familiar places first. Where do we normally go when we go to Mexico? I don't go preach tent meetings out on the back 40. First of all, I'm not from that country. And I don't know if you've ever been stopped by the federales in Mexico. But I don't know about you, but I get nervous. I don't speak good Spanish. I don't even want them to take my passport. I don't want anybody taking my passport but going through the little booth at customs. That's the only place I want to show it. But, here we are. And sometimes those federales, I remember Tino, he was in one vehicle, and he left us in a van, and it was with a driver that didn't speak any English. Were you with me on that trip? You were. My wife's already, wondering what's going on. And we get stopped by the police.
Hadn't even left the airport.
Yeah. We were stopped by the airport popo. As they call it. Huh? You were there too. Anyway, we're stopped. Then we find out this guy is talking to him. And I'm standing there trying to discern what's going on. I'm thinking, where is Tino? Why did he take off like that? And sure enough, this guy doesn't even have a driver's license. So here they're going to try to haul him away. Isn't she cute? Look at that little hat on her head. My goodness. Anyway, that's my little granddaughter. She can twist me around her finger every day of the week. But anyway, here we are at the airport. And they're going to carry this guy off, and he's trying his best to talk him out of it. And I'm sitting there wondering, where are we going, and who's going to drive now? I have driven occasionally in Mexico. I don't like it, anymore than I like driving in Miami. That's a rush and a half. But here we are, and finally Tino comes back about the time they got the guy outside the van like they're going to slap handcuffs on him or something. And he talks to him and talks at him and talks with them. They all raise their voices, and I'm wondering, now don't take him off too. And then don't leave us here on the side of the road not knowing where I'm. I kind of know if I get on the highway I can go into town. I can find something. We can at least go eat somewhere. And so there we are. And he sure enough talks them out of it. I don't know if he slipped them a 10 or 20 or something. But anyway, he talked them out of it. And he got in and said, everything's okay now. And I don't know if he got in and drove. But anyway, we made it to the hotel after that or to the house we were staying. But it was good. But you go where you know to go first. First, I go to churches, and I preach, and I do leadership events. But eventually, He may send you out to do things in places that you don't know everybody. And that's the test of the anointing working in your life. And they preached the word anyway. And while they were there, then God started to move. And the very first thing that happened, let's read 6 through 12. I'll try to wrap this up quickly. But it says, now when they had gone through the island to Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer. He probably found them, because I know I've never looked for them in the past, and they found me. People in witchcraft and demoniacs and everything else. But a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, who was with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, an intelligent man. This man called for Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. He went to hear the word of God. Didn't mean he is going to receive the word of God. Not everybody that comes to hear you is going to receive it. Some of them reject it. And it says, but Elymas, the sorcerer, for his name is translated, withstood them, was against them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Sometimes somebody will try to stand in the way of somebody's heart that is open that's going to receive the word of God. And so then it says, then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him. Now remember, Paul and Barnabas was separated by the Holy Spirit, not by men. The men participated in laying hands and blessing them to go. But they were not the one that decided they should go there. The Holy Spirit decided that. And so they sent them with a blessing. See, and that's the point I'm making. Many people are sent and others just went. And those who just went end up facing a lot of difficulties in their life. And they face difficulties in, quote unquote, their ministries. But when they come and go the correct way, they're sent with a blessing. And so they went with a blessing. And here's this demoniac, this witchcraft guy, this sorcerer that is an assistant to the proconsul. That's like the governor of the region, who doesn't want him to come to know Christ. He wants to stop them. But Paul was filled with the Holy Spirit. And what did he do? He looked intently at him. Now, I love this part. I'm going to tell you right now, the devil does not like to look into the eyes of Jesus. And who lives inside of you? How many times have you heard, I know I've heard it many times, they say, are you a Christian? And I say, yes, I am. I said, how'd you know? They said, I looked in your eyes and I could see Jesus. Well, you see, Jesus looks through your eyes many times by His precious Holy Spirit. And because of that, the enemy does not like to look you in the eye. And so when you look them in the eye and even shake their hands, a lot of times they can't take it. I mean, they either have to exit or they're going to get some help that day because they feel the presence of Almighty God. And so he goes on and he says, and oh, full of all deceit and all fraud, you son of the devil. Boy, I tell you what, he didn't mince any words, did he? You enemy of all righteousness, and you not cease perverting the straight ways of the Lord? Man, you talk about a guy's persona beginning to wilt about that time. And now indeed the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you shall be blind, not seeing the sun for a time. And immediately a dark mist fell on him, and he went around seeking someone to lead him by the hand. Then the proconsul believed when he saw what had been done, being astonished at the teaching of the Lord. I mean, God will face your enemies, and judgment will fall on them if they do not bow their knee and bow their words to the name of Jesus Christ. And so what points do I want to make? Number four, where you are sent allows you to face opposition. He doesn't stop it. He allows you to face the opposition. Why is that? He wants to prove Himself in you. He wants to show His validation of your life. Number five, God validates the ministry with power and judgment. I've had people, I walked in a room after church one night. I had Diane Palmer there, and she had done just a fabulous time of ministering. She would sing the prophetic word of the Lord. And man, we had a powerful service. Well, there's this lady that started acting up, so some of them took her in a room over in the prayer room on the side of the auditorium, and then they came and got me and said, "We need you over here." So I walked over there, and I walked into that room, and there was a woman sitting in a chair, baring her teeth, growling, screeching. And when I walked in the room, I had about five or six of our best prayer warriors in there, and they were trying to hold her and pray over her and cast out demons. I walked in that room and I looked intently at her, and she said, "Oh no, not you." I said, "Oh yes. We're not going to stay here all night, ma'am." And I looked that demon right in the eye. See, it's a demon looking at me. He had taken over this woman's life. You know what we found out later? She was perverted. I sent the Rodriguez over to her house after we had done deliverance over her, and she had a wall full of VCR tapes. That's back when VHS was in. She had a wall full of VCR tapes that were all sex and pornography tapes. You know, you never think about women being involved in pornography. You always think it's a man. Because men are more by what they see. Women are more like what they feel. But this woman was bound in X-rated videos. And she had all kinds of drug paraphernalia and everything. They got that thing and they put stuff in plastic bags and took them out and threw them away in the dumpster of that apartment complex. And they emptied basically her house of all this witchcraft stuff. But see, when I went in there, she screeched, "Oh no, not you." And I walked over there just like Paul did. I looked her right in the eye, Sister Virginia, and I said, "In the name of Jesus Christ, you're going to let go of this woman." And I mean, she coughed, spit, sputtered, threw up a bunch of crud on the floor. It was amazing. But it didn't take but about 5 minutes. It's never taken a long time when that person is sincerely wanting help. And you go and you take authority over it. And I think I was in, just ended a 21-day fast at that time also. It seemed like Diane Palmer would always show up at the end of a 21-day fast that I was in. And power of God would move. So God validates your ministry with power and with judgment. You know, back on my soapbox, I won't get back up on the stage, but people are sent and they're blessed, and people just went without a blessing. And you wonder, why wouldn't they come and let me bless them? What are they afraid of? I'm not going to reject them. I might even ask them, "Well, I would have thought you'd want a little advice. You'd want a little assistance, a little encouragement along the way." I tell you. Then you hear things about them later that aren't pretty. And you're sad because of it. It hurts you that their lives didn't go continually in a great direction. But let's skip over to verse 38 and 44 and I'll wrap this up. I've told you that before. I really mean it. 38 through 44 says, "Therefore let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins," talking about Jesus, "and by him who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. That's why I don't understand people trying to get back in the law and do things religiously, because none of that justifies them and causes them to be forgiven. It's only the grace and mercy of God. It just takes the simplistic message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to deliver and free people. It doesn't take honoring the Sabbath on Saturday, or honoring this and doing this and practicing this feast, and even blowing a shofar. Pastor Ken doesn't blow that religiously. He's a trumpet player and he just likes blowing it. It doesn't offend me one bit. But if we got to open the service with him blowing a shofar and everybody running around with the prayer cloth, I'm afraid I would have to go somewhere else. Because I'm free. The grace and the mercy of God is freedom to us. We're not bound by any of that. Paul warned them in Galatians, said, don't go back into these religious activities, which includes the feast. And whoever has persuaded people to go do that stuff is going to have to answer before God. And most of them never even come and talk to me that used to go to this church and get a blessing to leave. That tells you something, doesn't it? They've tried to create their own little world. I'm going to tell you, my world's easy. It's called accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If you confess Him with your mouth, you believe in your heart, you're saved. If you need to get baptized, let's go out to the river, or let's go to somebody's swimming pool, or if we got to rent a room and use a hotel swimming pool, we'll do whatever it takes. We'll get people baptized. You want to be filled with the Holy Ghost? Let's pray for you. He'll fill you up and overflow you. You want to be healed? We'll pray for you. We'll agree. We'll go out and eat bacon for breakfast. We'll go out and get a pork chop for lunch. You know? Come on now. We're not bound by the law. He said any of the stuff under the law of Moses is not going to give you the grace and mercy of God. This is Paul preaching it. He's letting them know. And what does he say? He said, beware. Watch out, therefore, lest what has been spoken in the prophets comes upon you. When you get religious and return people to some form of bondage, behold, you despisers, marvel and perish. For I work a work in your days, a work which you will by no means believe. Remember that word you gave? Though one were to declare it to you. Brother Chris is a prophetic minister of the Word of God. He's a prophet. I don't stress it calling people titles too much because, you know, they function in other ways too. I don't want people getting hung up where they can't even come and approach a person. But in an office, he functions as a prophet. And when God gives him a word, I listen to it because I know it's going to be a good one. What'd he tell you? He said what God's about to do, it's going to be so fast, the baby's not even going to slow down. It's coming out of the birth canal quickly. And it's going to be stuff happening like you wouldn't believe, basically. That's what you said. Get ready. You got to get ready. Man, you better hurry and get you a crib. You better get you some diapers. Because when people come into the kingdom, they got messes. And they're going to need some help to be cleaned up. Amen? I know I've got to stop because I'm getting hungry and my stomach's growling. But what's he warning them about? I've got to read about three more verses. So when the Jews went out of the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Now when the congregation had broken up, many of the Jews and devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God, not the law. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. The message, number six, of Christ is despised by religion, because it's going to turn the world upside down. And number seven, the hungry, no matter whether they were Jews or religious people, or Gentiles, non-believers, North American heathens in our case, desire the Word of God. They want the truth. Now, I know they're not coming every Wednesday night, but we had 20 people from Crossroads Ministry here Wednesday night, and I prophesied over about five or six of them. Man, we had a glorious move of God in my Wednesday night Bible study. They were glad that they had come. I was preaching on purpose and vision for people's lives. They need to hear that message. God brought them last Wednesday because of that. They're going to go somewhere else probably next Wednesday. But they told me, they said, man, we really enjoyed this. This really was an encouragement. Yeah. But you see, all throughout the next verses, let me just tell you this part. You can read the rest of this chapter on your own. But all throughout the next verses, you're going to see where the religious people bucked up against them. They didn't like it one bit, but the Gentiles weren't bound by religion. They said, come on, bring it on. We want more. The world's going to want more when they find out they can be free. So seven, unbelievers receive the word gladly. You're not going to make religious people happy. They're going to say, y'all don't ever sing out of a hymn book. Others are going to say, well, you know what? I don't like guitars in worship. Others are going to say, you know what? It's too loud. Man, you ever been in a rock concert as a teenager or a young person? You want to hear loud? I never complained one bit in those days. We used to stand on top of the chairs and shout. We get a little more life and excitement. I think we'll have some more non-believers coming here thinking this is a great place. Number eight, the religious persecute the move of God. People that have criticisms and persecutions got to watch out. Because when God's moving, He's bringing in non-believers. He's bringing in people that were fornicators, adulterers, drug addicts, drunkards, homosexuals. He's bringing in every kind there is. And what did Paul say? He said at one time, a lot of you were that. But by the grace of God, we're not. I would just love an army of wild people that got saved and delivered by the Holy Spirit of God. I would just love that. Now, I love y'all too. Y'all are settled down now. I would like to get some rowdy people in here that want to turn the world upside down. Number nine, disciples joyfully shake off rejection. Because at the end of the chapter, what did they do? That said that when they came against them like that, that they rejoiced. And they had joy because they had resistance. When you have resistance against you, you can rejoice and be glad because the enemy finally took notice of you. That you are a threat to his territory. And number 11, or that was actually 9 and 10, number 11, the first or in verses 6 through 10 of Acts, it says, I wrote down, opposition often points you to an opportunity for a miracle. Because that's when Paul came and he healed that person that was lame. And they got up and walked. Y'all want to see miracles? I'm telling you, let God move in your life. Because He's going to bring you through to an opportunity to see a miracle. Stand with me today. Hallelujah. You know, all of us got a little bit of religion in us if we were raised in church. We think certain things ought to be a certain way. I want you to try to shove all that aside and say, Lord, I just want to be a vessel that can be open and useful to you to touch and talk to anybody. No matter whether they're homosexual, no matter whether they're a fornicator, no matter whether they're adulterer, no matter whether they're a drug addict, no matter whether they were in perversion, no matter if they used to be in witchcraft, no matter if they used to be a witch doctor, No matter if they used to be a Wiccan. It doesn't matter what they were. God is God and He can deliver anybody. And we trust God in drugs and alcohol. Lord, we ask You to destroy the yokes off of people's lives. We ask You to give us opportunity to reach out to the lost. Send us, God, into our highways and byways. Compel us and propel us into the atmosphere where we can make a difference and where we can see deliverance take place in the mighty name of Jesus. Just lift your hands right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I bless these. They are the children of God. They're the blessed of the Lord. They're the blessed and not the cursed. They're the redeemed of the Lord and they can say so. Yes, they're the head and not the tail. They are Your chosen ones because they chose Jesus. You chose them first. God, use them. Multiply them. Bless them. Anoint them and send them out of this house today with a mission and with the power of Almighty God to do great and mighty things in Your kingdom. And may the words that came forth today come to pass. Let the baby come fast and furious. Let the baby come into fruition. And may we see the glory of God develop and demonstrate and this whole region be changed by the hand of Almighty God. And everybody said, amen. Amen. And how about yes?
Yes?
Yes. Glory to God. God bless you and keep you. Make His face